You're listening to the Lost Mountain Podcast. Lost Mountain exists to help all kinds of people find and follow Jesus. We hope today's message encourages you towards a deeper relationship with Christ. If you have any questions from today's message, email us at info@lmbc.us. Link is in the show notes.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, right? Well, Matt and Jake are at a conference for the next few days, so once again, I get the opportunity to speak to you guys. This morning, we're going to be back in our sermon series on the Gospel of Luke, which is Discovering the Heart of God. Okay? Now, I know you guys are probably planning on enjoying some chips and salsa after the service, so I'm not going to try to be long-winded so you guys can beat the Methodists to the restaurants. Okay, so, but today's a special day, and not just because it's Cinco de Mayo. Today is my granddaughter's second birthday. She is turning two today. I will say she hit her terrible twos a few months ago. Her favorite word is no, and she is very proficient at using that word. But I do love that little girl. There are things on my heart that I desire for her. I want her to be surrounded by good influence, so I pray for her future teachers and coaches and friends. I want her to be a disciple of Jesus. I want her to love other people. I want her to love and respect her parents and her grandparents. But I want her to do well in school. I want her to excel at her extracurricular activities. And yes, I want her to one day find and marry a man that will motivate, encourage, and inspire her to be the woman God wants her to be. I want her to have a long and happy marriage. These are some of the things I have on my heart for my granddaughter. But just as there are things on my heart that I desire for my granddaughter, there are things on God's heart that He desires for us. What does God desire for you? Think about that. What is on God's heart that He desires for you? In this sermon series from Luke on discovering the heart of God, it's about discovering the heart of God. And the passages we're going to look at this morning, we are going to see that God desires us, His people, to participate in His mission. Now, we talked about God's mission when we went through the book of Exodus a few weeks ago. God's mission is redeeming people back to Himself. You remember in Exodus, God redeemed the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt. He provided for them in the wilderness, and He led them to the promised land. And God's missional work today, that was a foreshadowing of God's missional work today, because God today, Jesus, redeems us from our slavery to sin. He provides for us as we're in our wilderness here on earth, and one day He's coming back, and He's going to establish His kingdom, and we'll live in His promised land forever. So God desires us, His people, to participate in His mission of redeeming people. Okay? Now, we know that God wants us to be His disciples, right? He wants us to be disciples of Jesus. But God also wants us to make disciples. And if we know that, it's very clear when we look at the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So God desires us, His people, to participate in His mission and tell others about Jesus. Now, today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. And as we dig into these verses, I want us to really focus on how we can get a better understanding of what it means to participate in God's mission. How do we really understand what it means to participate in God's mission? Before we get into the verses, I'd like to pray for us, and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for bringing all these people here today. Father, I know we are brought here for a purpose. You have something you want us to hear, Father. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, help us to be open and receptive to what you'd want us to hear. And Father, I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are going to be in Luke chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1. If you have the Lost Mountain app, you can find these verses in the sermon notes, or we also will have them on the overhead screens. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Okay, Luke 9, 1 through 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no shirt, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So Jesus calls his 12 disciples together, and he gives them some instructions for this mission that he wants them to do. I can only imagine what that conversation sounded like. I mean, Jesus saying, all right, guys, all right, come here, gather around. I got something I want you to do. Okay, first thing, I want you to pair up. All right, pair up. Everybody got a buddy? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in the towns and the villages all around, and I want you to proclaim the kingdom of God, and I want you to heal people. Basically, do what I did and say what I said. That's what I need for you to do. Okay? Head out. Oh, by the way, don't take anything with you. Don't take a staff. Don't take a bag. Don't take any money or food. Don't even take any extra clothes. Head out. Oh, and if you go to a town that somebody will invite you into their house, stay in that house the whole time. Don't move from house to house. And if you can't find a house that will welcome you in, when you leave, just shake the dust off of your feet in front of them. Okay? I mean, can you imagine what the disciples thought and felt when Jesus gave them those instructions? I mean, these guys had been with Jesus for a while, but they really didn't get it. You know, they didn't understand who Jesus was or what he was really trying to accomplish. I mean, they may probably thought they didn't know enough, or maybe they weren't skilled enough, or maybe they weren't good enough. I mean, I'll be honest, that's sometimes how I feel when I think about talking to other people about Jesus, right? I don't know enough. What if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? Well, I'm not skilled enough. I'm kind of an introvert. I'm a little shy. You know, I'm not good at speaking to people. Or maybe you think, I'm not good enough to talk to other people about Jesus. I've made a lot of mistakes. Or then there's always the, what if they don't believe what I say? What if they reject me? What if they ridicule me? And we have these doubts going through our mind. And I think the disciples may have felt this way too. But if we look in verse 6, what we see is they followed Jesus' instructions, they did what he said, and they were successful. And they weren't successful because they knew everything. They weren't successful because they were just super skillful. They weren't successful because they were great people. They were successful because of what Luke tells us in verse 1. Look at that. What does he say? He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Luke tells us that Jesus empowered his disciples to accomplish their mission. Jesus empowered them. And so that's really our first point this morning. Jesus empowers us, his people, to participate in God's mission. I mean, I mentioned some doubts and concerns and excuses we could throw up there. And, you know, we think, maybe I don't know enough, I'm not skilled enough, I'm not good enough, I might get rejected. We may feel those things. But think about this. If we're empowered by the God who knows everything, do we really need to know everything? If we're empowered by the God who created us, knows everything about us, he knows our talents, our abilities, our sinfulness, do we need to worry about our skills and whether or not we're good enough? You know, if we're empowered by God that can give us anything we need, he can equip us any way he wants us to accomplish his mission, should we have doubts and excuses about what he wants us to do? You know, we should be confident when we really grasp this idea that God empowers us as we participate in his mission. And like I mentioned earlier, God, the desire of his heart is we participate in his mission. And when we look at the details of this passage that we went through in Luke, we really should get confidence about, you know, participating in his mission. I mean, as I said before, God empowers us. And the things that Jesus instructed his disciples to do, the details of that, really eliminated their excuses and prevented their doubts from ever emerging. Let's look at the details. First thing he said was, Jesus instructed them to take nothing for the journey. He was telling them to trust God for what they need. Now, I don't think what he said was a universal policy for going on a mission trip, right? You guys that are going on Orchard Africa, take a bag, take some clothes, take deodorant, right? Jesus's point is that we need to trust and depend on God when we participate in his mission. Because God knows what you know. God knows your skills. God knows what you've done. Trust him to empower us to participate in his mission. Jesus also told them, when you enter a house, stay in that one house till you leave the town. I think what Jesus was saying is, don't look around for better accommodations, right? I mean, they may have stayed in one house and looked over and said, oh, the beds are better over in this house, or the food's better over in this house. Well, wow, this guy's a leader in the town. Maybe I should stay at his house because I'd get some clout. But I think Jesus is saying he wanted the disciples to focus on the mission, not on themselves. So I think his point for us is, when we participate in God's mission, we should stay focused on the mission, on what God wants us to do. And when we do that, that prevents any selfish desires. It prevents any doubts from ever emerging. And the last instruction Jesus gave was, if nobody accepts you when you leave, shake the dust off your feet as you leave. And that was a fairly common practice among Jewish people. If they walked through a pagan territory, when they got into Jewish territory, they would shake the dust off their feet, really as a testimony that the pagans were defiled and they weren't God's people, chosen people. But if you think about it, Jesus wasn't sending the disciples into pagan territory. He was sending them into Jewish towns and Jewish villages. So when they shook the dust off their sandals, it communicated that these Jews had rejected God's message, that they were no better than the pagans, like they were not God's chosen people. And I think the point we can take away from that is, you know, if we go out and we are talking to people and they do reject what we're saying, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God, right? So, you know, the details Luke provides us in this, it really builds confidence, because he says, Jesus empowers us. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility, trust God, focus on the mission, and realize that people aren't rejecting you, they're rejecting God. So, you know, God does desire us to participate in his mission, and Jesus empowers us to participate in his mission. So let's continue on in Luke 9. Let's go to verses 7 through 9. All right, Luke 9, 7 through 9. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. You know, Luke makes an interesting transition here. He starts out talking about Jesus giving a mission to his 12 disciples, and then he switches over and he's talking about Herod and John the Baptist. When I first read it, I'm like, is Luke being kind of random? I mean, why are these verses here? And I think the key is, when you look at verse 9, the question that Herod asks, he says, who then is this I hear such things about? You know, Herod had heard about Jesus and what he was doing, and he probably heard about Jesus sending his 12 disciples out. But he asked the question, who then is this? Herod was confused about who Jesus was. Herod was probably curious about who Jesus was. He wanted to see him. Do you think people today are confused about who Jesus is? I definitely do. I definitely do. Some people may be asking the same question, who is this Jesus character? Or they may have some preconceived notion about Jesus that doesn't really align with what the Bible says. But I think people are confused about Jesus. And when we pretend God's mission, that really involves helping people understand who Jesus is. I think as Christians, we can help resolve the confusion people have about Jesus. Okay? I mean, as Christians, we know about Jesus. We know about the Bible. Some of you guys have attended a lot of sermons, right? You've been in a lot of Bible studies. You've read and studied the Bible on your own. Think about what you know the Bible says about Jesus. You know what the Bible says about Jesus. You've got verses that come into your mind, and I'm going to go through several of those there, and most of you have heard them, and some of you may even have some of these verses memorized. But let's look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those verses tell us Jesus is God, right? We know that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Tells us God loves everybody. God gave his Son, and we can have eternal life when we trust, when we believe, when we follow Jesus. And then I just got one more, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've all sinned, we've all made mistakes, but we can have eternal life through faith and trust in Jesus. So that's just a few verses. I'm sure you guys had other verses pop into your head when you think about what the Bible says about Jesus. But my point is, we can use what we know about the Bible, we can use what we know about Jesus to help resolve the confusion that people have about Jesus. God wants us involved in his mission. And I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should go around quoting scripture to people who are confused about Jesus. My point is, we know who Jesus is based on our experiences. We have God's truth, and we can use it. We can use that truth to help resolve the confusion that people have. And I'm talking to myself here, guys. You know, a lot of us have been coming to church for a long time, and we know about Jesus, know about the Bible, know the gospel. We need to use this knowledge to communicate who Jesus is, to clarify the confusion that people have. I mean, as Christians, we can help resolve the confusion that people have about Jesus. So we're going to continue reading in Luke, and we're going to look at Luke 9:10-17. And this is a miracle that is included in all four of the Gospels. It's one everybody's familiar with. It's when Jesus feeds 5,000. So we're going to look at Luke 9:10-17. And as we look at these verses, think about and see what it tells us about how we are asked to participate in God's mission. How are we asked to participate in God's mission? So let's look at Luke 9:10-17. So when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." So Jesus is heading to a remote place with his disciples, and the crowd finds out where he's going, and they follow him. Now, when we read the Gospel of Mark, it provides a little bit more context. Basically, Jesus was talking with the disciples after they went out on their mission, and the disciples came to him. They're telling him all about it, and he goes, hey, let's go to a remote place so we can get some rest. So basically, Jesus has taken his disciples on vacation. He's taken them somewhere where they can rest and relax. He's taken them on vacation. And as he goes there, all these people are around. And Jesus didn't say, hey, we're on vacation. We'll get back to you in a few days. Jesus did what Jesus does, and he knew his mission. And so Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God and healed people. And, you know, I guess it took a while for him to do that because the days started slipping away. The days started slipping away, and it got to be late afternoon. The disciples said, hey, people are starting to get hungry. Why don't you send them away so they can find some food and find some lodging? And I think Jesus' response was not exactly what they were expecting. He looked at them and said, you give them something to eat. And they were probably like, how are we supposed to give them something to eat? We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And, you know, if we're going to need to buy some food, and it's going to cost a lot of money. Then Jesus performs his miracle by taking those 5 loaves and those 2 fish and feeding the 5,000. But when you look at the details of what Jesus does in this miracle, this is where it provides some insight about how Jesus uses us to participate in his mission. All right, let's look at what happens. What does Jesus do? He instructed the disciples to make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did it, right? Then he gave the broken pieces of the bread and fish to the disciples to distribute to the people. The disciples did it. Then the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. All right, here's my question. When Jesus, in the feeding of the 5,000, how much direct interaction did Jesus have with the people getting the food? None, really, right? The disciples had all the direct interaction. They did what Jesus instructed them to do. They had them sit in groups of 50. They handed out the bread and the fish, and they cleaned up afterwards. You know, when you think about that, what did Jesus tell the disciples when they came to him? Remember what he said? You give them something to eat. And what happened? The disciples gave them something to eat. That's exactly what happened. And Jesus uses people to implement God's mission. And, you know, Jesus did the miracle by multiplying the bread and the fish. Jesus was the power behind the miracle, but the disciples, they're the ones that physically fed the people. They're the ones, I mean, that's exactly what Jesus told them to do, and he used them to do it. And what's the significance, you think, of having the 12 basketfuls left over? One for each disciple, right? Each disciple had an extra basket of food. Jesus had given them more than they needed to do what he asked them to do. You know, I think we can take that as when Jesus implements God's mission through us, he's going to provide us more than we need to accomplish his plan. But God does want to use us. It's on his heart to implement his mission in the world. So what does all this mean to us? What does this mean? When we looked at the first part of Luke chapter 9, we see Jesus sending his disciples out, and they are proclaiming the kingdom of God, and they're healing. And then later on, they're organizing people into groups, and they're handing out food, and they're cleaning up. You know, if you haven't heard anything, hear this. Whether Jesus calls you to proclaim the kingdom of God as a preacher or as a teacher, or whether he calls you to organize an event, whether he calls you to hand out bread or hand out fish and clean up afterwards, God wants everybody involved in his mission. God wants everybody involved in his mission. So how can we be involved in God's mission? I mean, God has given each of us gifts and talents we can use to participate in his mission. Some of you are gifted as teachers and speakers. Some of you are great musicians. You know, you can sing, you can play an instrument. Others are gifted as great organizers, or maybe you're good administratively, or maybe you're a great encourager. Some of you have the talent for cooking. Some of you have a talent for yard work. Some of you have talent for fixing things, and others for building things. You know, all these things we can use to help God's mission. So the question is, you know, how can you use your gifts and talents to participate in God's mission? And I think it's important that we do use our gifts and talents to participate in God's mission. And many among you, I see that all the time. We see the praise band. They're using their gifts and talents, right? We see people administratively running all this stuff in the service. Tony Johnson puts out all the signs everywhere, you know. This morning, Jonathan and Leslie made the coffee out there. You know, all this is important as it helps the church to make disciples. All these things, these service acts are important as we make disciples. But we all have family members, we all have friends, we have neighbors, we even have social media friends that we know are not Christians. Every one of us, need to be willing to talk to them about Jesus. We all need to be able to talk to people about Jesus. And how do we do that? You know, I said earlier that as Christians, we can help resolve the confusion people have about Jesus. And we can. But, you know, when Jesus sent his disciples out on their mission trip, he gave him instructions. We saw those in Luke. Now, if you look at those instructions in the book of Matthew, Matthew provides a little bit more context. And one of the things that Matthew records in Matthew 10:16, I think is really important for us to keep in mind. So Matthew 10:16, here we go. "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves." Jesus is telling his disciples, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, like defenseless animals into a dangerous environment." I think that's the way we feel sometimes when we think about telling other people about Jesus, right? We're going into a dangerous environment. But Jesus gave some instructions to these defenseless sheep. He said, "Be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves." What does it mean to be shrewd as a snake? You know, normally a snake doesn't slither around on the ground, slithering around, looking for prey. And when it sees it, it doesn't usually start chasing after it and finally catch it and take it down, right? How does a snake usually work? Sits in one place and it waits. And it waits till the time is right. And when its prey comes close to it, when the timing is right, it acts. And it acts quickly and decisively. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. Not chasing people down, randomly throwing the Bible in their face. You're not condemning them for being sinners. We need to be shrewd and wait for the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. You know, an opportune time to talk about Jesus. Maybe you're having a conversation with somebody and something comes up about God or about Jesus or about religion. Or maybe they open up about a hurt they have or some sudden need they have in their life. That's an opportunity when we can talk to people about Jesus. We shouldn't try to force the conversation. We need to be shrewd as a snake. But what does it mean to be innocent as a dove? You know, doves don't scheme. They don't plot. They don't try to deceive in order to survive. They are totally harmless. And I think that's what Jesus is telling us we need to be, harmless. Harmless in a sense that our only motive is for the good of the person we're talking to. We don't have any agenda. You know, the person we're talking to, they should feel like there's nothing we would do to harm them. Nothing we would do to harm them. We certainly shouldn't throw out condemnation in person or on social media. I'm just saying, right? We shouldn't condemn people. If we do condemn people, they're going to look at you as their problem, and they are going to lash out back at you, right? And that is not being as innocent as doves. You know, last week, I missed out on an opportunity to be as shrewd as a snake and innocent as a dove. Beth and I were talking to one of our neighbors, and I knew her brother was going through a hard time, and so I just said, hey, how's your brother doing? And she said, you know, my brother is doing great. And then she went on and said a few things, and she said, you know, he recently joined a church, and he was baptized. And she said, you know, my family is mostly Catholic, and they didn't understand what baptism was, and, you know, it's really just you're dunking them all the way under versus sprinkling. I mean, that's what she said. But I didn't say anything after that. I didn't do anything to perpetuate the conversation. I missed this opportunity. I mean, I could have said, oh, do you go to the same church your brother goes to? Or do you go to a Catholic church? I could have said anything if I would have been as shrewd as a snake to keep the conversation going, and maybe I could have had the opportunity to invite them, her and her family, to come to church. Or maybe I would have found out she was a Christian. I don't know. But I blew the opportunity. I missed it, and I wasn't as shrewd as a snake and innocent as a dove. But being shrewd as a snake and innocent of a dove, innocent as doves, that also means having the right expectations when we talk to others about Jesus. And this past week, I was speaking to Matt, and he said something that was very wise. He said, you know, when we talk to people, we need to relax. Evangelism is sharing Jesus and the gospel. It's not always leading somebody to a faith decision. I think that's important to keep in mind. You know, when we're talking to somebody that's maybe confused about Jesus, maybe they don't know much about Jesus, you know, to think we're going to move them from that position to placing their faith and trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the rest of their life, it probably doesn't happen in one conversation. That is not the way it normally works. You know, we may have doubts and concerns about talking to other people about Jesus, but when we remember the example that the disciples gave us, remember, they listened to Jesus' instructions, they followed it, and they were successful. Now, you may be listening to me this morning, and you're like, I hear what you're saying, but talking to others about Jesus is hard for me. And our church leadership recognizes that. Matt told me yesterday that on June 9th, he is going to have a seminar on relational evangelism. So on Sunday, June the 9th, there's going to be a seminar on relational evangelism. I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't have anything more to say about it than that. I'm just letting the cat out of the bag, right? More information will come, but I just want you to know that there's the opportunity for us to learn how to talk to other people about Jesus in this relational evangelism seminar. Okay? So, as we get in and we discover the heart of God in the Gospel of Luke, we see that God wants us, his people, to be involved in his mission to redeem the world. That's what we've talked about, right? How do you think we're doing? How do you think the Church of Christ is doing about participating in God's mission to redeem the world? How are we doing? If you look at the world we live in, it's a mess, right? We look around and we see a lot of bad stuff happening in our world. Israel and Hamas are at war. Russia has invaded Ukraine. There's gang violence in Haiti. We see a lot of anger and hatred between our political parties. We see anger and hatred between ethnic groups. We see a lot of anger and hatred on college campuses, and people are protesting and taking over buildings. The news is full of murders and rapes and hate crimes and theft and sex trafficking and child abuse and molestation. You know, people are promoting living alternative lifestyles and have gender reassignment surgery. We know that's not what God wants for us. We see fighting over whether or not we should allow the killing of unborn children. We see people living in poverty. We see people starving. We see people, homeless people. And we see all this, and we may be wondering, you know, why doesn't God do something about it? Why doesn't God do something about it? And then we remember what Jesus said to his disciples. You give them something to eat. Maybe God is looking to us, and he's saying, why don't you do something about it? And you may be thinking, well, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? And that's exactly what the disciples said, right? Then he took 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 people. God can use us to change the world if we're willing to join him in his mission. The first passage we read this morning was the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. You know, think about this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus is standing on a hill in Galilee. He's surrounded by his 11 disciples, and he looks at him and he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And the disciples listened to what he said. They did what he told them to do. They participated in his mission to redeem the world. Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus changed the world with 11 disciples. Today, over 2 billion people are Christians across many nations. They changed the world. But I don't think God is done. I really don't think God is done. Imagine the impact we could have if we, God's church, God's people, joined God in his mission to redeem the world. That's what's on God's heart for us. Imagine if we followed what was on God's heart. Imagine what could happen. Because I don't think the situation is hopeless. I don't think the situation is hopeless. I don't think it's hopeless because we have the hope. But our world is not going to change because of politics. It's not going to change based on who's sitting in the White House. It's not going to change based on who's in Congress or who's on the Supreme Court. Our world's not going to change because of an executive order, because of legislation, or because of some judicial decision. Our world is going to change because of the gospel. Because the gospel has the power to change people's hearts and to transform lives. That's what's going to change our world. In the same way God used the 11 disciples to change the world, he can use you, he can use me, and change the world as well. And like I said at the beginning, that's what's on God's hearts. That's his desire for us. He wants us, his people, to participate in his mission and tell others about Jesus. So I am going to close this in prayer. If anybody has any questions or comments about what I said this morning, or maybe you have something you want to talk about, I'll be down front here after the service. But as we close in prayer, I'm going to ask the offering ushers to come forward and to collect the connection cards and the tithes and offerings. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for how you've blessed us. And Father, as we read these verses, we know that you want us to participate in your mission. Our world is a mess, Father, and the gospel is the solution. Father, I pray that you would inspire us and motivate us and encourage us to participate in your mission. Tell people about Jesus. Father, thank you so much for how you've blessed each of us, and help us to pass on what we know and what we learn to other people, Father. Thank you for all that you've done for us, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about Lost Mountain, visit us at lmbc.us. Thank you for tuning in today.